This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast on Superman Doomsday.
Tarzan wasn't a ladies' man. He'd just come along and scoop him up under his arm like that. Quick as a cat in the jungle. But Clark Kent. No, there was a real gent.
Hey, welcome to iFanboy Special Edition podcast on Superman Doomsday, the first special edition straight-to-DVD movie from Warner Brothers Animation Studio, DC Animation. I don't remember the name of the studio, but something like that.
It's something to do with Warner Brothers, which is a giant corporation.
It's from Bruce Timm. He did all the DC animated shows, and this is the first out-of-the-gate direct-to-DVD movie that they're going to produce.
All right, and you're Connor, and I'm Ron, and that's Josh.
Hi.
We're from iFanboy.com, and in case this is the first podcast you're listening to, normally we talk about comics, but every now and then we get together to do a quickie about notable movies and stuff that come out, and this is the first time we've done a DVD, right, Connor?
A direct-to-DVD.
DVD. We didn't do this for Ultimate Avengers. Why?
No, because that was crap.
So is it safe to say that this was different?
Well, I refused to watch the other one, so...
There's two reasons why. One that was crap, but it wasn't as big of a deal. You know, like, that was sort of a quickie thing that they're doing, Marvel's doing, and this was more of a big deal. There's a studio behind it, there's a whole line of movies they're doing. It's all based on comic book stories and not just amalgam mishmash of concepts like the Avengers movies are, and I don't.
Yeah, I mean that's probably a whole separate conversation. I don't mean to derail it, but I just find it interesting because Marvel's doing the same thing. I mean, they've now done Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Avengers.
Well, it's not the same thing. They're doing direct to DVD movies, but they're not adaptations of the comic books.
Exactly. Yeah. And what makes this so special is that the interlacing of the story in the DVD with the stories are coming from the pages of the comics.
Right.
And that's what I find so fascinating. But exactly, sort of.
The general plot is, I mean, Superman Doomsday, it's an adaptation of the Death of Superman and the Reign of Superman storylines that came out way back in the mid-90s, billed as the greatest selling graphic novel of all time, which I don't understand what that means, but I'm assuming that means the best-selling comic of all time, which I guess is possible. And the basic plot is we're thrust right into the movie, into the storyline. Superman faces off against Doomsday. Spoilers will be abounding, so if you want to wait for the movie, shut it off. But Superman faces off.
If you've read anything about comics, you know what happens.
Superman faces off against Doomsday. He gets killed. Lex Luthor clones new Superman that's under his control. That Superman eventually goes evil. The original Superman comes back from resurrected by his Kryptonian robot, and he takes Metropolis back from the evil Superman, and also Lex Luthor. And that's basically the plot of the movie. What do we think?
So thank you very much. We'll talk to you next time.
You're welcome.
All right. Looking forward to the next movie now. So I watched this yesterday, and we've all watched it at this point. Yep. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen, but I thought it was enjoyable. Josh?
Yeah, I would say about what you said.
Connor?
Let me ask you a question before.
Or Josh?
Ron, did you watch the Superman animated series ever?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because if you were on the website, then you know that Connor just watched all of them recently, which I imagine color your thought of this kind of thing.
I actually have Superman animation on the brain because I just did watch all the Superman, the entire series recently, about the last month on DVD, so I've got flying Supermans in my sleep. Yeah. I loved this. I thought it was fantastic. I thought my expectation level was it would be quality, and I thought it far exceeded my expectation level. I think it did a lot of things better than the Superman animated series. The things I didn't like about it, I didn't think were that major or that big of a deal. I think they did a fantastic job of taking the story of the death and return of Superman and distilling it down to basically a 78-minute movie. It got rid of all the extraneous elements of it and basically told what they needed to tell, the important part of it, and they did it really well, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting that they cut out the whole reign of the Superman. We didn't have Steel or Superboy or Eradicator or any of those, like, things. You know, like, they cut that part out.
But so they didn't. That's the thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, they didn't. Yeah, but I thought they made it really kind of digestible, which I thought was good. I found it interesting that this wasn't so much about Superman as it was about Lois.
Right.
You know, like, it was very Lois-heavy. And also what I thought was interesting was that the fact that this is PG-13, and it was violent. And it was, like, the fights were pretty brutal. And my favorite kind of, you know, like, not having to do with anything plot or story-wise, but my favorite thing about this was watching the little, the animated extras' bodies go flying. Because there's a lot of destruction in this. It's like, Metropolis gets destroyed at least two or three times in this,
yeah.
in this movie.
And it's a Civil War level of city destruction.
Yeah, and what's great is that when a building down to the detail, when a building, like, fell over, you just see, like, this two little bodies go flying. And, like, it was just like – so I found myself preoccupied with looking for that while watching the movie. But
it was realistic in the sense that, you know, in these big superhero fights, people get killed in the crossfire. And that's Doomsday. Doomsday was offing people left and right, and there was a brutal killing on a bridge where you just snapped somebody's head off.
Oh, God, it really was. I was struck by the amount of violence in it, actually.
It was hard. Some of the more mature stuff in it, it wasn't hard to deal with on a thematic way, but, like, it was just odd. Because it looks basically like the animated series that I'm used to. So it'd be like if all of a sudden, like, an extreme would be like if one of the Muppets just started swearing at you.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Like, oh, wait, this is weird.
I don't think it was inappropriate though. I don't think it didn't. It fit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
it was just a change of pace. That's all. So.
It almost makes me wish that they had, like, done a different animated style then.
Well, that's the thing. The one thing I thought they really faltered in, and they set themselves up for trouble, was when they first announced this line, they said the animation was going to closely mirror as much as possible the original the art style of the comic story. So, like, this was supposed to look like Dan Jurgens. The next New Frontier is supposed to look like Darwin Cook, and the Titans movie is supposed to look like George Perez. Mm-hmm. Now, Darwin Cook already looks kind of like the animated series, so that's going to work. But this didn't. No, it looks absolutely nothing like Dan Jurgens. It looks very similar.
It's just like the animated series, but with facial lines.
Well, that's the thing I didn't want to say that because I thought you guys were going to jump all over me, but the cheekbones.
No, that was bad.
Threw me off the entire movie. Yeah,
it was a mistake to do the cheekbones. I thought they had learned that lesson when they added them in the Justice League cartoon, and then lessened them. They actually made them more pronounced here, which I don't understand on two levels. One, Superman. I saw Tim talk about this in San Francisco. They wouldn't be showing an older Superman. The problem is Superman doesn't age like everybody else, and he ages slower. So he wouldn't be showing his age. That doesn't make sense to the character. And two, it's just too distracting. They were so pronounced that almost your eyes were drawn to them no matter what was going on.
It
was really weird because I thought the character designs of Lois, Jimmy, and Lex, I thought that was the best animated Lex yet. I mean, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And James Marsters as the voice of Lex was awesome. I thought he was really good. And Superman just it was reminiscent of the animated series Superman, but different, and that just disturbed me throughout the entire thing.
But it was
he was
so
a bit leaner. He wasn't as bulky as the Superman animated Superman.
Yeah, true. Yeah. You would know better than any of us.
I have it imprinted on my retina. Josh, you were saying?
But I thought it was.
I forgot what I was saying.
Oh, so that I think that was a problem. The face, which I got over eventually, and I think one thing you really had to do if you were going to enjoy this movie was get over the fact that this is not from the DC animated universe, quote unquote, you know, the shared universe they did. It's not part of that universe. It's not supposed to be, no matter how it looks. And if you can't get beyond that fact, then or stop comparing it to, then you're not going to enjoy the movie. The other thing I didn't like story-wise, choice-wise, was the comic book death of Superman was brutal. Basically, he and Doomsday beat each other to death. And it was shocking, and it really had an emotional impact in that sense. In this one, Superman basically grabs Doomsday after an admittedly a fantastic prolonged fight where they do both beat each other all to hell.
Really good.
Featuring some of the best action animation I've ever seen, I think. And then Superman picks him up, flies him into space, and then drops him, and then basically falls with him, and they both collapse and die when they fall to Earth, which I thought was less shockingly impactful as literally Superman and Doomsday beating each other with their fists as they did in the comic book.
Yeah.
That was the other thing I didn't like about it.
You know what actually kind of bugged me on that little scene is that, like, he landed him right in the middle of Metropolis.
Right.
And I was like, why would you do that?
Right.
Yeah, and plus with, you know, Earth trajectories and land, you know.
I did think of that too, but I didn't say just from a standpoint of everyone is in there. If you come down at, you know.
He could have come down on a building.
Even if not, like, the shockwave and destruction of that. You know, they'd be like if a comet hit or something.
Exactly.
Like, bad, but they had to set it up so that Lois could be there.
Right. Well, in the comet, that's the thing. They beat each other to death right in front of Lois and a crowd of people, so they didn't need to change it to recreate the scene of him dying in her arms. It was pretty. Yeah. It was already set up for them. I don't know why they had to choose that.
I was really disappointed because when they show the point of impact and then Lois is like walking towards the crater, and for a moment you see the cape on the pole like from the comic, but the Superman logo wasn't there. It was ripped away, so it was just this piece of red, and it was gone so quickly. I was like, oh, way to miss the icon. The iconic shot.
Yeah, but that's
and they blew it. Well, true, but I think but that's the kind of nod. I'd rather see that than Kevin Smith.
Yeah, that was.
I didn't catch that. What was he?
Kevin Smith was. He was in the crowd. He made a comment about something that was related to his script about Superman Returns, the movie that originally he wrote.
He was so inside, and like it was like, and he's credited as Grumpy Guy or whatever it is. It's like kind of, you know, like, and it was just like whatever. That so Hollywood. You know, inside type thing, but like I thought that was the one thing I was waiting for. I really wanted to see the cape on the pole more so than anything. But I read
Kevin Smith's script, and this was much better than Kevin Smith's script. It was not to demean Kevin Smith, but his script was too light on action. This was I was blown away by the action in this. I thought it was really well choreographed. The fights were intense and they were intricate, and it was really good.
Right. And I gotta say, also the period from the point of Superman dying in Lois's arms to dealing with the mourning, and then to dealing with the return of Superman, I got a little misty.
Definitely.
They
I thought that Anne Heche acted really well.
I loved her in this.
And the scene where she goes to Ma Kent's porch, and she breaks up, that was exceptional acting. I thought better than. I mean, if an animation can touch you in that way, that's doing something. That's pretty good.
Right. Then the other controversial, I think, amongst people choice they made was obviously they have to get rid of all the elemental extras to get rid of Superboy and Steel and the Eradicator and Cyborg Superman. They basically combined Superboy, Cyborg Superman, and into one character, which was the clone of Superman. The evil clone Superman,
What's funny is that you keep referring to the clone as evil Superman. He turns evil. I thought it was really interesting because he didn't turn evil. He was trying to protect the city, but because he was a clone, he lacked the knowledge and he lacked the humanity that Superman had.
Right.
You know, and so like I never thought of him as evil. It was just he was Superman minus morals, or minus the.
Well, that's
the,
some would say that someone minus morals is probably evil.
Yeah, the person who's evil thinks they're evil usually. They think the right thing, and what he did was. I mean, basically what he did was he said, I'm going to make this world good, and this is what's best for you. He was trying to do the best thing, it just wasn't
good. He's almost like Dr. Doom.
Yeah. But much less narcissistic.
Yes.
I thought the resurrection stuff was, I mean, it was as crazy as it was believable, and the black suit was justified, and like in the long hair, like it all, everything made sense for me. I was looking for ways to poke holes in it, and I don't have really many, other than the cheekbones, any holes to poke at it. Yeah, so.
And I thought Lex was good. I loved Marsters also. I thought he was fantastic as the voice of Lex. And I like his shocking moment of brutality was just incredible.
Oh, I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
Like where he basically built a clone so that he could beat the shit out of it. Yeah. It was almost sexual in nature.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. You guys get, I mean, like I was like, oh, look at them pushing this sort of boundary of what this really means or what's this about. I mean, you wouldn't have to be too far-reaching intellectual to wonder, you know, like, well, what's Lex's problem really?
Right.
Right, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, you shut up, that's wholly American. But, like, you could very easily take it in the direction that, like, if you wanted to, like, Lex is really, he's kind of jealous of Superman, maybe.
Totally.
Oh, yeah, a lot. Totally. Absolutely. I know, that was really good. I thought
maybe he's jealous of Lois.
Maybe.
They went there briefly.
Yeah, briefly. Yeah.
So. And then actually, like, from a storytelling standpoint, it's probably not right for Superman, but it'd be an interesting way to take it. Right. If you wanted to have that in the background of how you were writing Lex Luthor, this has nothing to do with the movie.
Well, because they did that in Lois and Clark. They did that in Lois and Clark a lot.
Oh, did they?
There was a lot of totally. Yeah,
I never watched it.
So. Lex pursued Lois a lot in that.
No. He's talking Lois producing Superman. Superman. Oh, love Superman.
Oh, I see. I didn't even think of that. Wow.
Jealous of Lois getting Superman's attention.
Right. I see. Interesting. Fascinating.
Lex is in love with Superman.
Wow, how
but
about
he
that?
Hates himself for it, so that's why he hates Superman.
Wow.
I just figured out how I would write Superman, by the way.
Excellent.
I expect you'll be getting a call at any moment.
Probably a cease and desist letter of some kind.
I think we'll all be loved it, right? I mean.
I liked it a lot. I don't know if I loved it, but I liked it a lot. So.
Yeah, I saw it. I don't really need to see it again.
I saw it. Yeah, I watched it.
I don't know. I think from having just watched the series, I was much more jazzed for it because I think as great as the series was, this was a leaps and bounds improvement over it.
I tell you what I enjoyed the most out of it, though,
mm-hmm.
was the new Frontier preview.
Oh, I didn't even watch that yet.
On DVD. The special features, there's a long feature on the new Frontier, and I was like, this is going to be awesome.
What do you guys think of the – I mean, are you guys now going to look for the other movies that come out from this line? Or are you going to – you know, when New Frontier comes out, are you going to get that? Are you going to look for Teen Titans? Is this something now that the first movies come out, has this increased, decreased your interest in the line of these movies?
I will definitely get the New Frontier because I love that story so much. I probably will borrow Titans from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not really their market. I don't – no, it's like I haven't been interested in any of these really from the standpoint of buying them.
You like superhero cartoons, so why are you not in the market?
I used to like superhero cartoons a lot more than I do now. I don't own any of that stuff, and I'm not really – like I never wanted to go out and buy the Marvel ones or anything like that even before I knew they were crappy. I don't know.
Is that the same reason why you didn't watch the Justice League Unlimited on cartoon when it was on the Cartoon Network?
I'm just not really that interested anymore. It's not – there's nothing wrong with them. I just – not.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thumbs up for the first one. I mean, definitely already better than what Marvel's been doing, so that's for sure.
Yeah.
So all right then. So, cool. Well, if you checked it out, if you watch Superman Doomsday, head over to ifanboy.com. There's going to be a post up about this about the movie. Tell everybody what you thought, if you liked it or hated it or whatever, or if you think we're full of shit.
Yeah, which is possible.
Which is possible. We often are. So, and if you, head over to ifanboy.com, there's a whole bunch of other stuff you can do there. You post, talk about comics. You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. Rah. All right.
Rah. Brains.
Anything else? No. Brains. Comics. Superman. I was hoping for Eradicator, I'll be honest with you.
I didn't know I'd never really read those stories, so I was like, is that Eradicator? Like, no, that's – oh, okay, sorry.
The robot was kind of Eradicator.
Yeah, the robot was pretty cool. It's almost like if you –
no, he was Eradicator pretty much.
Was he, really?
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. I'm not saying he was. I'm saying he filled the role sort of Eradicator.
I believe he was voiced by SpongeBob SquarePants as well.
Was he?
I think so. I don't know.
All right, so until the next movie, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
At the same time as Connor, as well.
Josh. Connor.
Hunter.
Jerk.
Superman never made any money. The perceiving the world from Solomon Grundy. And sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also like, one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.